traditions is some a kind of luminosity that is being held out for us. An invitation to grow into an immense beauty where we will lose interest in things like chocolate, television, and smoking, and pornography. We just simply will naturally lose interest in that. Because we are experiencing a beauty of the divine that is so much more than that. So the first path, if you see on here, I believe the top thing, right? It says the three principal paths. And this is what's called, in Tibetan Buddhism, the three principal paths to enter the spiritual life. And the first one is renunciation. And this correlates with the first noble truth, which I'm calling the first Arya truth, right? When you have that experience, that lack of a subject and object, for the first time in your life, right? You come out of that and you come back into subject and object relation. Therefore, you know, based on certain things, you know that something just happened to you. Because you can't know it in the moment because there's nobody to know anything. But when you come out of that experience, which they say in both Buddhist and Christian scripture lasts about 15 minutes. St. Teresa says this as well as in the Buddhist scripture. When you come out of that, you realize four things. And when the Buddha had his awakening, under the Bodhi tree in Bodh Gaya, which I think the tree now is the great-grandchild of the original tree. They keep like re-propagating it. When he came out of that experience, he had four realizations about a human condition. And the first one is what? What's the first realization? The first noble truth? No, close though. She said being alone. What's the first realization? The foundational truth in Buddhism? Yeah. There's suffering in the world. And in fact, the Buddha says that all life is suffering. Now, there's two things with that. First, that's a poor marketing strategy for a religion. Right? Because who wants to come, you know, if I just said all life is suffering, come hear me talk about it, you know? Nobody would come, right? So the second thing is it seems it's not accurate. It's not accurate. I mean, has your whole day been suffering?
No.
I hope not, you know? And if it has been, your whole week probably hasn't been. And even if that's the case, your whole life probably hasn't been all suffering. If it has been, maybe you're some kind of weird Buddhist, I don't know. But so it seems inaccurate, right? It seems inaccurate that all life is suffering. So there's three kinds of suffering, and I want to break it down a little bit, and then we can judge a little bit more whether that's accurate or not. And I'm gonna do the reverse. I'm going to start with the most subtle layer of suffering. And this they call all-pervasive suffering. Do you know that experience when you have a dream and you wake up from a dream and you're relieved that you're awake? You know? Even if it's a good dream, there's a kind of, as you wake up into the world, there's a kind of like, right? There's like, I'm glad I'm more awake. And the Buddha realized that we're all asleep in a way that we're not aware of. And if we could wake up to that reality, we would have that same feeling of like, whew, like that was unpleasant. You know, that was, it was uncomfortable. What he saw is it was uncomfortable to be where we are right now. It's uncomfortable just to be in this kind of environment, even in seemingly pleasurable things. Like when you're asleep and you have a pleasurable dream, there's a pleasure in there, right? But there's this kind of subtle layer of suffering. And that's what the Buddha called the most subtle layer, all-pervasive suffering. Another way I was thinking about it is that there's this kind of subtle layer of anxiety that we have all the time with us. And if you think about, I was thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking about all my first days on the job. You know, your first day on the job or your first day in a new environment. It can be exciting, but it also can be, it can provoke anxiety. There's a subtle level of anxiety that's with you the whole time because you don't know the rules. You know, you don't know how the game is played. I remember my first day at the Abbey of Gethsemane. I was entering the novitiate, not with a hope to become a monk, but just the abbot allowed me to enter the novitiate, to experience 3 months of monastic life. And, you know, this was pre-email, right? So we were communicating back and forth between those old-fashioned things called letters. And I wrote him a letter, and he said, actually, I wrote 12 Benedictine monasteries. And I said, I want to enter the monastery, but I don't want to be a monk. I just want to live the life. And about half of them wrote me back and said, you're welcome to come stay in our guest house, where people do that all the time. But I wasn't really looking for that. I didn't want to just stay in the guest house. I wanted to kind of like live the life, the monastic life. And then the other half wrote me back and said, you can't even come to the guest house because we don't have a guest house, and no, you can't come for an extended stay. And then one monastery, the Abbey of Gethsemane in Kentucky, wrote me back and they just said, sure, let us know when you're coming and how long you'll be here. So I wrote him back and I said, I'll be there on whatever it was, June 10th, and I'll stay for 3 months. Well, while that letter was coming back, the abbot went to Rome. So he never got the letter. It was just unopened. So I arrived at the doorstep of the monastery. Nobody has any idea who I am or why I'm there. And I'm trying to convince them that I don't belong in the guest house. Right? They're trying to put me in the guest house. So, so they finally put me in the little cell, and they really are cells. They're like full-on jail cells. They feel like prison. You know, they're very plain. And there was a level of anxiety. I don't think I ate for a couple of days because I didn't know when meal times were. In fact, I didn't know anything. Like, and nobody really paid attention to me because nobody knew who I was. The only attention I got is I waved at a young monk, and he gave me the finger. So I was existing in a kind of anxiety, right? There's just a subtle level of anxiety.
Wow.
And we have that in this kind of unawareness. We have that right now because we don't know the rules. We don't know how life will unfold. And we all exist in this deep unknown of death. We don't know what's on the other side of death. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know how we're going to die. We pretty much know it's going to be painful and scary, right? And all of us live like that. So there's this subtle level of suffering to everything we do. I was also thinking about it when you look at, when you go to a kindergarten class, right? That you see the kids, and some of them are even confident, like they're really good at coloring, or, and they just kind of walk around, but they don't even know how to feed themselves. You know what I mean? Like, they are so incompetent in the world that they can't even get by for a day without adults. And in a sense, we're in that same boat. So and they know that. They have some awareness of that, right? Because you take mom away from, they're like, yeah, I'm the toughest kid in kindergarten. And you take mom away and they're on their knees screaming, right? In a sense, we are that same way. Even when we're confident. We all share a brother and sisterhood of where we live in a state of subtle anxiety. And the Buddha said that is the all-pervasive suffering. It's a kind of suffering that is in every single action you do. It's a kind of suffering that you just live with. And it's like the refrigerator. It's like the sound of the refrigerator. You forget that the refrigerator's on until it finally goes off, right? And it's like, that was driving me crazy, but I didn't even know it. Or like, waking up from a dream. It's when you wake up that you can look back and you realize that sound was really causing me anxiety, causing me a very subtle level of suffering. So in that context, we can take this idea that all life is suffering with a little bit differently.